That's pretty cool.
I got it from
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The best.
That's cool.
Right.
That's, it really does, when you put them on, it really does look like you're being anonymized.
Right?
Yeah.
I almost didn't get it. I'm like, if I don't get this, like, I'm going to regret it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I can, like, barely see
we'll
you
get,
guys.
We'll get this over
that dark, eh?
Very, very dark. Like, it's not, like, this isn't even sunglass material. This is just, like, hard
she
plastic.
Just put a piece of plastic on her face. It's not, there's not sunglasses.
Wow.
Welcome to the Comedy Here Often podcast. Alexi can't see. We wore sunglasses for Zach, but because he wears them all the time, he didn't wear them.
Mm. I have an extensive collection, and I left them all at home.
It's probably where they're best.
Didn't know you felt that way.
No.
That's
great.
I dig them.
I like how you look.
Sort of my.
It's kind of your thing.
Well,
not today though.
Not today. It's overcast.
Today it's her thing. It is overcast. The guest today is Zach Gray.
Hello.
So when I said gray, the screen went black and white in the animation. Cool. Like, you'll see, like, she's gonna do that.
Okay, great.
So that part's gonna be cool.
That's great.
We'll do it in post.
My question is to you: have you ever tried to be that person who wears sunglasses indoors?
I don't like that guy very much because I find that when people are insecure about their looks, often that's their move if a photo is going to be taken.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be in that, lumped into that. Basically, I'm so judgmental, I don't want other people to judge me.
Oh, exactly. It is a hard road.
It's a good lesson in how little people are paying attention to what you're doing, how focused people are on their own insecurities.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, when someone's wearing sunglasses indoors, most of the time, I barely even notice it. I'm like, oh, you know, cool gal or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And,
cool gal? That's the name
of
this episode.
Cool gal.
Cool gal.
And, but, if I were doing it myself, I'd be like, man, everybody knows I'm a punk.
Yeah. It's like how Russell Brand had this bit about how when you buy a new pair of boots, it's like they're wearing you for a bit because you feel insecure. It's like everyone knows I have new boots. This is so embarrassing. And then you wear them in and then it becomes a part of your body, you know? Maybe sunglass guys are like that. Maybe I should go easy on them.
I mean, like, I really want to be the type of person that can wear sunglasses indoors.
A poker player?
Well, there's loads of people that do it. Like, honestly, half the musicians that go up to, like, accept Grammys are wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, actually.
Like, and they do it all the time. We don't even question it, especially on camera. We never question it.
That's a great point. And some people have been doing it so long, I don't even notice. Like, Slash, it would be weird if he wasn't wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, well, we've never seen his eyes before.
You know what's funny? I met him backstage once, and he was wearing sunglasses, and he was basically wearing, he's very friendly. Mm-hmm. He's basically wearing the pajamas version of what he wears on stage. So it was like it looked like black skin tight jeans, but they're kind of like sweatpants. And then instead of like a top hat, he had like a beanie, but he's still wearing sunglasses.
Right. Well, yeah, he can't wear the uniform all the time, I guess.
But he wears renditions of it.
I like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I like the consistency of it because Louise Burns was talking about how you will seem timeless and ageless if you just keep your look exactly the same forever.
Yeah.
Specifically haircuts.
Right. Yeah.
Hence the bangs.
Her bangs.
Her bangs. Very iconic.
Mm. Yeah, she.
Yes.
She bangs.
She bangs. She bangs. Remember how William Hung had that song, "She Clangs, She Moves"? It was like parody.
No, it was just a cover of She Bangs.
I thought it was "She Clangs, She Moves."
Oh, no.
And then it was cow animations. Did I make that up?
I thought.
That's the most brilliant thing
I've
ever... I'm
almost 100% sure it was him just covering She Bangs.
Oh, no.
I thought he was dipping into the parody world.
No, he was not parody. He was...
He is a parody, I suppose. He's satire, you think? Do you know who William Hung is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it became that way, maybe, but that's the fine line is like, no, he's a performer.
Yeah.
He wasn't great, but he was willing to go out there.
True.
And so I think he wanted to see where his 15 minutes took him, but I don't think he was parody. No.
Okay. I think, do you remember there was a show that came out shortly after that show where they would trick somebody into thinking they're an amazing singer for a whole season? That's the meanest thing I've ever heard of.
No.
And I feel like they got the idea when they were watching William Hung and he kept moving to the next level, even though he's technically not a great singer.
Right.
Oh my God.
That's so mean.
That is really mean.
There's also, there's a comedy movie called Windy City Heat that where they really did that to this delusional comedian and they made him think he was world famous. So they had like Dane Cook is in it and he's like, I can't compare to you. Like,
oh, wow.
Like everybody was in on it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's crazy.
It's like the Truman Show of of performance art.
Yeah.
That hits home because I think that's what pretty much every performer actually thinks is going on.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I have that delusion.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you think that it's like imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's a way of putting it.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard Bowie talk about that Bowie, like in the 90s, you know, he's already had more than 20 years of being a legend and an icon. And he was saying like, yeah, I'm still, you're not going to believe this, but I'm still waiting for people to figure out that I'm bullshit.
Wow. I mean, like, it makes sense. Do you experience that?
Actually, no.
No.
Very confident. Very confident.
No, I actually don't. The things that I'm good at, I'm confident in.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that I'm not good at that would be useful. And if people call me out on that, then they're totally right.
What are you the worst at? I think I'll go first to make it easier for you. I think that I don't know how to do almost anything adults should be able to do. like I remember I was trying to do my own taxes and I was like, I don't know. I'll just pay a lot for this.
Yeah.
Pay some. I can't. This is so fucking boring. I like in high school, I couldn't, I was such a bad student because I just couldn't care about almost anything.
Yeah.
And now I'm like that in adulthood with everything that isn't my like three interests.
Yeah. I like filing my taxes though.
You would. She's like really good at a lot of things. Like I also don't know how to cook. She's a chef.
Well, she's wise beyond her years though.
Absolutely. I'm wise beneath my years.
Yeah.
That is very kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, what am I not good at? It's tough. It's tough.
You're probably good at sports. I heard you play a hell of a soccer game.
I can play soccer, but I haven't played in a long time. You know what my sport is? And I have a feeling that our conversation is just going to go down this rabbit hole of talking about niche stuff that people can make fun of you for.
Okay.
Just like exposing all...
Yeah.
All the targets.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
But my sport, ever since I was like 16 years old, was Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, wow.
And I took it extremely seriously for a very long time.
Yeah. I can see being good
at
that.
Is there a league?
Yeah, there's a league now. There wasn't when I was playing in college.
I love that you played it in college. Like, that makes it even more serious.
We were so serious, Kevy. It was a varsity sport essentially.
Yeah.
We would go to tournaments and in the States and constantly.
You toured it?
Yeah.
Did you keep track of your stats?
No.
I'm only averaging 7 under the leg catches per game.
Yeah. They keep track of stats in the pro league now, but they certainly didn't in college. So
I think I'd keep track of my own stats. I love stats.
Yeah, it would be tough because all the advanced metrics are tough to quantify in frisbee.
It's not like basketball.
There's a lot of people watching and counting in basketball. They can tell you like how many seconds you held the ball. You know.
Yeah.
In frisbee, so when I was into it, like I was convinced that there was a chance that it would be an Olympic sport at mm-hmm. some point while I was still in my prime, and I wanted to be ready. Because in theory, I think when I was hoping that the 2008 Olympics, they were going to let it in, but that was never going to happen. Mm. Was that Beijing? Yeah, it was Beijing. And then that came and went, and no Frisbee, no ultimate in the Olympics.
Oh, no
way. I always wanted to get an Olympic medal.
I think you'll do it.
Thanks, man.
I'm actually kind of surprised now that I think about it that it's not in the Olympics, because they've got some interesting sports in like the Summer Olympics.
Well, I think the main reason is because it's a team sport, and team sports are expensive to add because there's a lot of people involved. Mm. Whereas if they want to add, like in the Winter Olympics, for example, they can add 3 skeleton divisions, and that's only adding, you know, like 2 people per country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have an opinion that's unpopular.
Yeah.
Sports related.
I love it.
And sometimes you and I will have arguments about sports things, but I'm wondering what side of the fence you sit on here.
Okay.
I remember when I was like 8, I got into a full-on fight with my adult father. Of course, he's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
My father, and I'm 8. Same age as me. He called golfers athletes, and I was like, they're not athletes. That's a game. And he's like, they are athletes. And I was like, but they drive carts. And then I was like, ping pong players are better athletes than golfers. And we got into a serious, what do you think? Are golfers athletes? I think they're mostly fat fucks.
Not anymore.
John Daly.
I feel like, yeah, that he's the last of that generation.
Really?
Like, you'd have a hard time finding a not super fit golfer.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they still drive carts and eat hot dogs though?
No hot dogs. They're like really serious.
Veggie dogs.
I think Tiger like changed the game with that. And now everyone's into like supreme conditioning. Fat lot of good it did for Tiger. His back's been fucked up for... I'm acting like I know golf.
I mean, like
sounds like you do, actually.
I do agree with you, though, too. Like, my boyfriend, Jeff, who is going to be watching this.
Yeah, he loves golf.
He loves golf. And he always comes back, and he's, like, sore. And, like, he's been, like, complaining about it being a sport. But I remember when I used to golf as a kid, we used to drive the carts.
Yeah.
So I remember it was
I crashed the cart
walking
once.
Not much else.
I understand what you mean. Like, I would have a hard time calling darts a sport.
Yeah.
That seems like a game to me, and I don't really know what the difference is other than you're using more of your body for golf. But sometimes, like, just the infrastructure, like, you're going to have to accept that there's a gray area. There's no, like, defined line. I mean, when people start calling, like, esports sports.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous, but, like,
because
it doesn't matter.
It's like... To me, athletes play sports, and so they work out, and it's like, I guess another gray area kind of is baseball, because some guys on the field are straight up standing there.
Yeah, if you can just hit nukes, then you're fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to play softball, and that was pretty tough as well. Like, it's a lot of running.
It's got a gamey aspect to it as well. It's gamey.
Yeah, it's gamey.
But yeah, I think golf's a sport. It's just like a pretty on the sedentary side.
Wow, you handled this so maturely and calmly.
Oh man, just get me started. There's other stuff I'm sure that we could like talking about.
I like when you said that hockey is easy.
I said that?
Oh. You said it's a bad sport now.
I think it's a bad sport, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a pretty unpopular opinion.
Right? Yeah. Because what did you say? It's just...
I think at some point it was a good sport when people were worse at it.
Yeah.
And then now people are so big and so fast, and they haven't been able to adapt the size of the playing, the ice or the nets or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, goalie pads have gotten so big that literally they figured out for all the magical things that these pro players can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've never had more talent, never had people with better stick handling, better just like, you know, the poetry in motion that modern hockey players can show you.
Yeah.
But because of how the sport is, that's not useful. The best way to do it is just chuck it at the net, hope it goes off 2 bodies and goes in. And that's like barely, that's a huge problem for me. And it should be a huge problem for everybody who likes hockey. Yeah. It's not exciting. Yeah. It's Plinko.
Yeah, that's fair, honestly.
It's like, it's shuffleboard. It's at best shuffleboard.
Hockey is shuffleboard.
Wait a second. I just realized that I asked you what's something that you're terrible at, and then somehow that transitioned to you telling us you're good at Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Great deflection.
You know what I'm not great at? I'm not great at I'm trying to improve at like talking with alacrity. Like on these kind of things. Like it's definitely a skill for today, where I mean, when I was first envisioning being a musician, the mystique was such a huge part of what I loved about music, and that's still part of it to some degree, but I also really appreciate it when my favorite musicians can talk good game on a podcast.
Yeah, me too.
And and that's an acquirable skill that I haven't put any time into. So I would like to. That's
conversationally,
what we're doing
here. You're really good, actually, because one thing that I really dislike when I see musicians interviewed is when they have media training personalities. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you're just saying the thing that you think people would want to hear from you. And it's not really you. I like how blunt you are, and I like when you're like, hockey sucks.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't know you and I saw an interview with you, I would listen to your band based on you saying that. It's like Josh Homme or something.
But don't you think that that a media training these days would probably include knowing that hot takes sell? So maybe. Like for a long time it was like play it safe, and now I feel like we're in a culture where like playing it safe gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
So like let the hot takes go like fly and say talk shit about hockey if you want to. I used to love hockey as a kid, and
that's why it hurts so bad now.
It kind of does hurt. It feels like I lost something that I can never go home to.
See,
it's like a home I can never return to. Yeah,
I feel like I have adaptability to things that I like, where I'll just like I love NBA basketball, and when it became evident that certain games are pretty rigged, I was like, well, I guess that's just part of the game now. It's kind of like a soap opera or something.
Do you really think that they're rigged?
Well, that Kings-Lakers finals where the refs were just tilting it so far in the Lakers' behalf. I mean, that referee went to jail because he just admitted it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? He was like, I was bribed, yeah.
No way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he was calling, like...
Who bribed him? He won't say?
I think it was gambling. Nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I think also there's pressure. Like, the Lakers winning with Kobe Bryant and Shaq is sexier than the Sacramento Kings winning with a bunch of people who aren't famous. And that Sacramento team is really cool. I wish Chris Webber and White Chocolate won, but that's not as cool to the average person than someone winning that they know who they are, I think. So I think there's pressure on those guys.
Yeah, yeah. And that was always when we were following the Raptors last year.
Yeah.
I always felt like if there was any credence to that, then it was going to look like they were going to find a way to tilt it towards the 76ers. Sixers or,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, I mean, Warriors, the story is good either way. So
that's true.
I wasn't sure that they would. And also, they just didn't need our help. They didn't need the refs' help.
Yeah.
It turned out they did because everyone got injured.
That was so weird.
But
it was so serendipitous in a way.
I'm totally happy. It was a beautiful moment to watch the Raptors win.
Yeah.
And I don't really believe in asterisks. Yeah. Asterisks.
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 I don't know.
Asterisk.
I don't think I've ever heard that word out loud.
No, the X is just the cartoon, like the Viking cartoon.
That was a good cartoon.
Asterisk.
It's two different words?
Yeah, it is. It is. Anyway.
I'm so stupid.
I used to really love Tintin.
Yeah, I used to love Tintin too.
I feel like they're related. Sorry, I don't know if that was like completely...
That was a hot take.
Out of left field.
You don't believe in asterisks.
I don't believe in asterisks, but I do think there's no way in fucking hell the Raptors would have won if they had had Durant and Clay.
But the thing is that I think that's part of the game because everyone's like, well, they're injured. It's like, yeah, because they've won three in a row and with no never got any time off. So your body's wearing down is going to be part, like the durability is part of it. Yeah. So yeah, maybe you're right.
And stochasticity is part of it.
Still played great.
It was exciting. Yeah. It was electrifying.
It's funny how it's like, normally I don't really have... It was interesting to see Canadian pride that way. It was like, yeah, see that? We care. We're good too. It kind of felt like that. And then it's funny how it's like the best player is like, cool. I would like to be traded now. I'll see you later. Left. It's like that's also never happened before where somebody signs with a team, wins the championship, and then is like, yeah, I want to go. I don't want to stay here anymore.
That's so strange. Yeah.
But I love him because Kawhi Leonard, because he has no personality, and that's the opposite of every other superstar.
Yeah.
It's like he's as good as all the famous guys, but I think he just isn't because he isn't flamboyant.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was so amazing about him getting endorsed by New Balance.
That's perfect. It's perfect. It's Larry David's shoe.
Yeah.
He's the Larry David of basketball.
Yeah.
Is he also like a dull personality?
No, it's just Larry David's happily boring with his activities, I think. I think. And then Kawhi Leonard is happily dull with his personality. But that's also his sense of humor. And I think he's like either unaware people don't get it, or he's just fine that people don't understand if he's joking or not.
Mm.
But you know what I love that he does? Because I'm sure you've done this a lot where every Zola's interview, there's going to be three of the same questions every single time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard will be like, I just answered that question in the last interview, but I guess I'll answer it again. Okay, what superhero would I be? This one.
Mm-hmm.
Next. Like, he'll just like shame you for being not trying hard.
Oh, yeah. Just hates poor journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach, what's the worst concert you've ever been to?
Oh, yeah. The worst concert. Fuck, man. I don't know. Like, I've been to so many concerts. I suppose it would have to be a concert like of an act that is thought of as good. Otherwise, it's not exciting if it's just like you know, an open mic or something.
Like, I saw Riff Raff and it sucked, and I was like, perfect. That is what I wanted from this.
Yeah,
I don't have a good story about that. I have this weird memory, Kevy, where I remember everything, but I don't have a good index for it. Mm-hmm. So I can't like file through my memories and pull them out. They're not sorted.
Mm-hmm.
So so if we get to if I'm talking with my band and we start talking, then I remember all these details.
Mm-hmm.
But I can never just like pull out like the best or worst of something or whatever. Mm. So that's tough. But actually, I what's the worst concert I've ever been to? I don't know, man.
I'll kick it off.
Yeah.
I'll kick it off with an interesting one, which is that my first concert ever was a Warped Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was young enough that it was probably my first time seeing people who I knew who they were in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like Ice-T played. I was like, that's fucking Ice-T. That's crazy. I'm near Ice-T. Like, and then, you know what I mean? This is crazy.
Of course.
So this is Cypress Hill we're supposed to be on and like bailed last second and got replaced by Eminem. Mm. But no one knew who he was yet because he didn't have an album yet.
Whoa.
And so he went on right before Pennywise and everyone was there to see them. So everyone booed Eminem and chanted Pennywise. And they were handing out these free cups of water with lemon slices. Everyone was hitting Eminem in the head with lemon slices.
Oh my God.
And this is when Proof was his, like, you know, Proof from D12. Yeah. R.I.P. He died.
Oh no.
He's also in 8 Mile, the greatest movie ever. Everyone was hitting him in the face with lemons. Like, that crowd were horrible. And Eminem wouldn't come back to Vancouver for like a long time.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's because of that.
I'd love it if he was like freestyling all the stuff that is that's coming at him. rhyming with lemons for like 5 bars and then,
oh my God,
switching to like empty pop cans.
Yeah. And then the crowd's like, we respect this. Yeah. Let's throw him some stuff he likes.
This is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyone got an orange?
Well, door hinge, and then a door flies at him.
When life gives you lemons.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Freestyle about them and impress the punk rock crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was one. Also, when I was like around that age, I went and saw Slipknot at the Croatian Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. And they were opening for Coal Chamber.
At the Croatian Cultural Center?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was my first time seeing syringes on the ground in the bathroom. I was like, holy shit. Whoa. I was a pretty young teenager. And I was on the front, and they jumped off the stage, and like I touched the clown guy's head, and security guard punched me. Because I think it was like, don't let them steal our masks. I think that was what it was. So
they can't have that.
Those are both kind of good concert experiences, though.
Oh yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's not going to be a good story because it'll just be a band that I love that showed up with bad sound.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question then. I was talking to the comedian Graham Clark, and he says he thinks everything's too long.
Oh, for sure. For sure, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's actually a pretty good argument. Like, I didn't go to the Neil Young concert, but if I had been, I bet I'd be talking about it right now because it was 4 hours long or something like that, and it's Neil Young, and it was just jams.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody needs that.
No. I think an hour is good.
I think the only reason that that shows are that long are because they want to charge $300 for tickets.
Yeah. So like,
well, if we're charging five times as much as is reasonable for a ticket, then let's play. We at least have to play five times as long.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true.
But I hate it. There's actually no band in the whole world. The Beatles could come back from the dead, reunite, play a show at my favorite venue, and after 55 minutes, I would be hoping that they'd wind it down.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Oh, 100%.
And I've always felt that way.
So like when I saw Riff Raff and he played three songs just yelling over his own CD, and then a merch guy came on stage and said, hey, if you buy two t-shirts, you can hang out with Riff Raff, and that was the end of the concert. That was perfect.
Yeah,
that's worth about $40, I thought.
That's about as much as you need from Riff Raff. was that at Fortune?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird. Lewis and I went, and Lewis and I will be stoked if something's terrible. Like we went and saw Eric Andre, and I love Eric Andre, but he spent the entire show crowd surfing, and then at the end, these people that came with him were like, that sucked. And we're like, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Of course it sucked. That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like, the first guest in the show is you, the audience. And then so the whole audience got on stage at the Commodore, and then he was in the crowd, like backwards. Stuff like that. And I was like, this is so stupid. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better than, I think both of us, and maybe all three of us, have been paying attention to music long enough that like we can no longer get hard watching good music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like some sort of like, porn addiction that's sinking into the Disturbed.
Yeah.
Where like you just have to watch people eat shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
To shock your own system.
Yeah. No, I'm still talking about the porn.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you have to watch people eat shit on stage to really like enjoy it. But honestly, as someone who watches music half the time to like get inspired about what to do and what not to do, there's nothing more instructive than a bad show.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
A good show is tough because there's usually an unquantifiable je ne sais quoi about the artist that is not something that you can bite.
Yeah.
And so if it's really good, then you know, if you go see fucking Bruce Springsteen and you try to do Bruce Springsteen at your next show, it's not you, and it's not going to be right. But if you watch somebody, here's just like as a tiny example, someone playing at a show that's not totally full and telling the crowd like, you guys can come closer. It's easy to want to do that.
Yeah.
You should never do that.
No.
You know what I think? A faux pas, and this is such an obvious faux pas, but I still see it sometimes. People between songs audibly tuning.
Yep.
Like, what's up with that? Except for like at an orchestral show. That's the best sound ever when they're all tuning in.
That's nice, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, those people are classy. We're not talking about those gentlemen.
No, we certainly aren't.
Yeah, I guess that means that they're not using a tuner that has that stops.
Yeah.
That like stops the sound. Yeah, that's so
weird.
And also, yeah, just like not having practiced enough to be aware that like when someone's tuning, someone else has to like divert attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In some way. It's never good. I mean, but then also rules are ready to be broken. You know, I would love to watch like a Jeff Buckley show and then see him tune in between and just look at his beautiful face and and like listen to him just
very handsome
breathe softly into the mic as he's tuning. Like, I'd be into it. So
yeah,
but only for 55 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or less, honestly.
I saw Ween one time, and I'm like a middle of the road Ween fan. Oh, 3.5 hours, and then there's a fist fight beside me.
What?
It's like, what kind of fan base is this? They want to watch 3 hours of this and then they fight?
That's bizarre.
What's good about Ween?
I liked... So, this is actually a good question for you. Ween had a music video that I saw when I was pretty young and it scared me.
Mm.
And things that scared me when I was a little kid I then got really into, like the movie The Lost Boys, scared me so bad that now it's probably top 5 movies ever for me. Ween had a song called Push a Little Daisies and Watch Them Come Up, and it was just so weird that I just didn't understand why you would make a song like that, and then I became obsessed with it. So anytime it was on, I would watch it. Black Hole Sun was a little bit like that. Like, the video was just so fucked that I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I loved Super Unknown. So... Mm. For me, I don't think I would ever put Ween on, but I went and saw them twice, and both times no opener, 3 hours long, and so Jesus. I don't think I will see them ever again.
Yeah, that's pretty hard.
It's too long.
That's way too long.
It's way too long. It's, yeah. For me, like doing like a tight, if you're headlining, a tight 60 minutes, no encore, that is, that's the beautiful, that's the master stroke right there.
Yeah,
it's so true. God, like whenever I hear people shouting like shouting encore, I'm like, no, like let's go home, like we're done.
I saw Nick Cave in the Bad Seeds in Seattle once, and he came out and someone in the front was like, play Red Right Hand, which is like the song from Dumb and Dumber soundtrack, and
it's from Dumb and Dumber.
It's in that also, but it's also
from Peaky Blinders.
It's
that old a song?
It's in bunch of... Right. So anyway, so someone's like, play Red Right Hand, and he goes, shut up! And that was how the set started.
I love that.
Yeah.
I saw Randy Newman get heckled once. He was playing at Pemberton. I don't know who was booking for that year, but they had a really cool, like, I don't know, it was very diverse, but then Randy Newman, I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah,
it's a weird fit. But they kept heckling him to play You Got a Friend in Me. And he wouldn't listen. And there was like a whole group of people and they're like, play it. And then they got bored. They're like, he's not going to play it. And they left. And as soon as they left,
he played it.
Nice.
I love that spite.
Right.
Yeah. I would love to know that he's very angry or something. Here's a good question. You like a lot of 90s crossover hits.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a Blues Traveler phase?
Yeah. You know what?
That's weirdly specific.
I think about stuff like this, and then I'm like, I gotta ask Zach if he likes,
blues. I can name one song by Blues Traveler that made it onto a mix CD of mine. I think it's called "The Hook." I think.
Okay.
And it was good. I got a little put off by all the harmonica focused stuff.
Yeah.
Harmonica is the kind of instrument that if you're good at playing, if you're too good at playing it, it makes it worse to listen to. And there are very few instruments like that.
No, that's so true, because if you're being technical on the harmonica, which is one key.
Yeah, well, unless it's chromatic, and that's hard. Like if the chromatic harmonica...
Sounds impossible.
Is it this big? No, it's just sucking and blowing, and you get all the way up. But like... I would way rather listen to Bob Dylan just going like, nat or nat or nat no, nat or nat or nat no, than Stevie Wonder do a harmonica solo, and he's so good at harmonica.
Yeah.
But it's a cheesy sounding instrument, and it sucks. Yeah. So yeah, the Blues Traveler guy, I heard that he played, like, he gigged with like a vest lined with harmonicas. Mm-hmm. Imagine if I had harmonicas.
That would be incredible. I was hoping that's what was happening.
I thought he was going to.
I know, me too.
And I could not get behind that. Cody sent me a text yesterday by coincidence where it was just like a bit. Sometimes he'll text. This is the drummer in our band.
Yeah.
He'll send us like a bit, just like almost like he's working on a stand-up comedy routine, and he's just sort of like testing out a bit. And he's like, when you guys read the word harm reduction, does any part of you think that it means reducing the amount of harmonicas in music?
And then based on your response, if everyone sends him an LOL, he'll jot it down as like,
yeah, yeah, it'll go onto that, like, that cool. Spreadsheet.
Cool.
But yeah, no, I like that song. I was not above it. Man, there's just so much music that is. We live in an era where everything is kind of cool in one way or another, and that's a beautiful and liberating time to live in. Like, we live in a sort of post cool cycle time.
Yeah,
and I think it's just the most exciting time to be an artist, and exciting time to like consume music and consume art.
Oh, yeah. I so agree.
However, there's still a select few artists that, if you tell people that you were really into them, they'll get really bummed out.
I know.
And I happen to have been a fan of most of them.
I love that. So what is that? Everclear?
Everclear is...
Oasis?
No. Fuck off. Oasis is fine. No. It's way worse than that. Nothing got me more excited than listening to Under the Table and Dreaming by Dave Matthews.
Oh.
The Dave Matthews Band. Dave Matthews Band somehow has managed to be the only uncool thing on Earth right now. There's no...
I grew up pretty into Limp Bizkit, so...
I think Limp Bizkit's good.
Yeah.
Well, they're both good.
Yeah, but I was in like a pizza garden and eating a slice of pizza, watching the pizza chefs cook.
Yeah.
And they were putting on they had an entire Limp Bizkit album playing loud, and they knew every lyric, and they were singing and rapping along to it.
Which album?
The big one, the Significant Other, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Hot Dog Water or whatever. Chocolate Starfish.
Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog.
I don't remember which one. It had My Way on it.
Yeah, that's Hot Dog.
Hot Dog. Okay. And every song that came on, I was like, oh yeah, that's also a hit. It's really good. Limp Bizkit was good.
Wow. You're bold for saying that. Because
Hockey bad, Limp Bizkit good.
That's the name of the episode. Yeah. Hockey's bad, Limp Bizkit is good. I took heat for it, and it's funny because I've met those guys, and I feel like when I met them, they kind of thought maybe I was going to make fun of them.
Yeah,
because of the context I met them in, it was like, is this guy cool with me or against me?
They were like in the last wave of like before the end of the cool cycle.
Yeah.
So they were really uncool for about 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, if you're into them, great. And if you're not, then that's understandable too.
You know, what's funny. I liked them. Their first album I loved. Because it sounded like Korn mixed with Cypress Hill or something.
It's massive sounding too.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. It's like jock jams to the nth degree.
Yeah. But their first album was like this jazzy punk weird album. And that was my favorite. So when the next... When Significant Other came out, I was kind of disappointed. Oh,
there's one before Significant Other?
Yeah, and it's like skate punk rap. Yeah, and I loved it. That's the Faith cover.
I can't believe it's raining.
I can't believe that's so loud.
What the fuck's going on?
It's like a rain stick.
Yeah, maybe that's what's happening.
You know what I heard the other day was that Chili Peppers aren't cool anymore. And
Chili Peppers have been...
I love them.
Here's the thing. I'm in California a lot. Chili Peppers are treated like the Nickelback of California.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
People hate them there.
We're in the house of Nickelback right now, I guess.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I do love them as well.
I like Nickelback.
Love them. I mean, sure. it goes without saying, but
yeah. But it's hacky to dislike things like that, I think.
Yeah.
You know I agree. I mean? Especially things that are empirically adored by so many people.
Yeah.
To say that it sucks is...
it's inaccurate.
It's inaccurate.
I love that because you're my only friend who gets like the semantics of... You could say you don't like them, but you can't say they suck. Like,
no, yeah.
I always have that argument.
Yeah. I suppose I should say the same thing about hockey. I think it sucks for the reasons that I stated before.
Yeah.
And actually, most of the world would probably agree with me, to be honest. It's just like I happen to live in a demographic, around a demographic that likes this dumbass sport. So there, I just doubled down.
Love it.
I thought I was walking it back, but I ended up just
doubling down on it. Yeah. Okay, I want to do one more segment with you, and then we should probably stop.
Okay.
So here it is.
I'm gonna set this one out.
I forgot. I'd written down a few little stories. I just didn't message them to you.
We'll do another one.
We can do more. Like you could ask about.
Just tell me one right now. Just got so awkward.
No, we've got to get to it. We got to come to it. It doesn't work
naturally.
It doesn't. I mean, it wouldn't be natural because I'm about to tell you. Okay. Here's a question.
Okay.
No, it's bad if I say it too. It's about, have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah.
You've been in a fight?
Lots.
Lots of fights?
I grew up in Delta and it was weird. It was like I remember like my mom and I would walk our dog and there's like gang members that would throw bottles at us and stuff like that. And it's because it was confusing for them, I think, because she's so Asian looking and I'm not. It was kind of racially motivated. And so they like, I don't know why this is so funny to you, people bottled my dog.
I was just laughing because like I've been like,
racism.
No, no, I was just laughing because I've also been in a few fights myself.
Yeah, I did that.
Myself.
She's from Ireland. That's why she loves fighting so much. But I would. I started to realize I had to stick up for myself, and so I got in fights then and then. And then I would occasionally, as somebody who took public transit a lot, I got attacked a bunch of times when I was a teenager. Surrey Central Station was crazy.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, I had a guy try and take my iPod when I was like 17.
What generation?
It was like the second one, and so I put his face into a brick wall.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to like really, and sometimes like they're like early Fake Shark Real Zombie, like the old band. I sometimes got in fights during shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Not to derail this question because I really want to get into your fights. Yeah. But is it true? Someone told me recently that an early gimmick of Fake Shark Real Zombie was Parker pouring milk down his pants.
Yeah, he did it with eggnog at a Christmas show. He did it at the beginning of a UK tour, and he only brought one pair of pants. And then he just smelled terrible for the rest of the tour. And then
He still pulled though.
Yeah, he did. Because
he's Parker.
Yeah, he did. And then he did get together with a girl, and then he was wearing her pants for the rest of the tour.
That's pretty
And funny. Then the rest of his life.
Yeah. I don't think that I've ever actually met him in person, and it makes sense.
That's the origin story of who Parker is now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was wearing like a normal like baseball hat and like sort of baggy-ish jeans. He poured eggnog in them, but only brought one pair on tour. Had to borrow his girlfriend's
skinny jeans
and bandana.
Yeah.
And never took it off.
A star was made.
Yeah.
Right there. Tell us your fight stories, Alexi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it was stupid. It was like eighth grade and like these guys graffitied a bunch of lockers, including mine.
Okay.
And I found out who it was and I like went after them.
Wow. The aggressor?
I was the aggressor. Yeah.
But wait, do you think that it was motivated by, it was directed at you or it just happened to be your lockers?
I mean, I don't know. It was like, it was definitely like not that they just went and graffitied a bunch of lockers. It was like they like put food on a bunch of different lockers, like smeared food and like wrote on them, mm-hmm. like specific lockers. But I didn't like have a beef with them before. Like it was just weird. I'm like, why would you do this? And yeah, I was the aggressor.
Wow.
But you weren't expecting that one.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I'm not a big fighter, but that was just, it was gross. Like, yeah. So like they had like, I don't know what it was. Like it was some sort of like cream donut. I remember there was like whipped cream.
Yeah.
And it was smeared down a few of our lockers. And we were like,
it doesn't sound that bad.
We didn't really have a problem with it. It was really weird. Like it was definitely like, I'm not usually the aggressor, but like that was one of the times where I was like, what the hell?
I have a good one. I had to go to summer school one year. Summer school is so stupid. It's just putting all the worst kids in class together. And this kid behind me kept punching me in the back of the head. And so I punched him in the face during class.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I was kind of a fucking hothead when I was a teenager.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Imagine how confusing it would be to be the kind of kid who liked to stir shit up by smearing food on lockers. Mm-hmm. And then this, like, I don't know what you were like in high school, but assuming that you were also beautiful in high school,
this
beautiful girl, like, coming up to you and being like, who the fuck?
Yeah. It's like,
was this you? And then, like, throwing fists.
Yeah, that's like in Freaks and Geeks, how Rashida Jones was the bully. It's like, this is so confusing for so many reasons.
Yes. I actually never saw that show, but yeah.
She was a bully in it.
That's great.
I mean, like, I seem to remember, too, like, the way that it went down was, it was less of me coming up face to face, and it was more like me actually jumping upon them.
It's even hotter. And I'm sorry.
And we were, this is exactly what they wanted. And we sort of spun through the air. And just fists flying and it was a whole thing.
This friend of mine, the late great Phil Western, he was engineer. He told me that one time he was on the SkyTrain and he was on ecstasy and he was just looking at this couple and smiling. And the guy was like, hey, quit looking at my fucking girlfriend. Phil was like, I'm sorry. Like he's smiling because he's on ecstasy. And the guy started beating him up while he was on ecstasy. And he's like, stop it. He was like, kind of thought it was like, felt good. You know,
oh, that tickles. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
Have you ever been in a fight?
No, I never was in fights.
You're about to after those hockey statements.
Exactly. I'm going to get some scrappers.
Oh, no.
Some real enforcer is going to come up behind me and jersey pull me.
There's going to be a guy who loves hockey and hates biscuit. He's going to come find you.
I think, it should be hard. It's hard to imagine, like, punching someone in the face.
Yeah.
Like, that's because you... I'm actually also like kind of big, so I think about, and you're pretty big too.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I would actually hurt somebody if I did it. Yeah. So I never, when it was.
That's the point.
I almost, the point is to hurt them. Well, usually the point isn't to hurt them. The point is usually to like subdue them or like make them stop doing something. So like if I knew martial arts, I feel like I.
That is the most un-alpha male thing I've ever heard anyone say. That whole thing you just said.
I know. This one time we were getting ready to go on tour and I was. We had a jam space on Abbott and Pender, which is now like a boutique ice, like gelato place, I think.
Oh.
But it was like the gnarliest jam space I will ever be involved with. It had like basically the washroom from Trainspotting, just like covered in.
Wait a second. Is it below Lick? Is it by Tinseltown?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah, I know.
Parker was living in that space.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Parker was living there. Yeah.
We shared that space. It was Fake Shark, Real Zombie, and the Organs merch.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we had a space there too. And it was, remember how it was like the mustiest place on earth? Like somehow they had all the must in the world and like went there.
Shaved some years off your life by being there a lot.
Yeah, it was gross. And it's funny that Parker lived there. Legendary reform dirtbag for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's so not a dirtbag now. He's just like a wine sipping
poet.
Exactly. Poet and like, reformed libertine. But
very soft spoken now.
Oh, man.
Used to be a yelling guy.
Still a great hang, though.
Oh, yeah.
Still a great hang. I had all our merch and I was waiting to get picked up by some friends and I was in the just waiting at the parking lot outside the space. And this kid came up to me and he looked like a kind of, rough kid from that neighborhood. And he was like, hey man, I I don't have a phone and I need to call my girlfriend.
Oh, I've had this happen to me.
Yeah. Can I use your phone? And this seems like a bad idea because he just might want to steal my phone. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, but he's tiny. He's like, mm-hmm. you know, he's 20 and has like this sort of a crustache and if he tries to steal my thing, then I'll just catch up with him. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So I give it to him, and he makes a call and he stays on the phone for a long time and he's not talking to his girlfriend. I don't know who he's talking to, but he's just using the phone for whatever. And eventually I'm getting a bit nervous. So I'm like, hey dude, okay, that time's up. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hang on a second.
No
he's
way.
Just like taking full liberties with the phone. And then that, you know, another minute or two goes by and like, okay, now it's time. And he's like, and then he switches. And I think maybe he didn't intend to do this anyway, but he's just like, what the fuck, dude? Why are you disrespecting me?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, man, I'm not disrespecting you. I just, my phone, I want it back. And he's like, yeah, I was going to give you your phone back until you start disrespecting me, motherfucker.
Whoa.
And then he puts the phone back, the phone in his pocket.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
this is what I feared. For trusting people.
This is what I feared. And I realized like that was the fault of my logic is that like, once I catch up to him, if he runs or I catch up to him, like, then what do? Then I have to punch a dude.
Yeah.
And I've never been in a fight before. Then I have
Zach
to be in a
Gray
fight.
Gonna have to punch a dude?
And I've never been in a fight before. And so I think about, like, I remember having these very rational thoughts, like, okay, you've never been in a fight before. This kid probably has been in fights before. What do you know about fights? I was like, well, I do,
Excel document.
I do remember hearing from friends of mine who have been in fights that the golden rule is that if you know you're about to get into a fight and there's no way around it, hit first. If you want to win the fight, hit first.
Yeah,
like that's just it. Like, and it may seem cheap, but like that's just literally how it works. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to hit him. I know we're gonna eventually get like start fighting. So it's better for me to just end this quick. I got to hit him. And I'm like, I feel my fist like closing and I'm like, okay, where am I going to hit him? Like where on the face am I going to hit him? And I start looking at his face. It's like smooth, like sweet olive skin.
Yeah.
And his, you know, his budding mustache and he had quite beautiful eyes too. And I was like, man, like
this is going to ruin this beautiful face.
This is going to be really hard to, and in the meantime, I'm thinking this, but what I'm saying is like, okay, I got to assert dominance here. So I'm saying like, give me my fucking phone back or I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And he's like, well, you're going to fucking beat the shit out of me? And I'm like, yeah, give me my fucking phone back. And I'm like standing tall. He's small. He's not, he's not even like, he's probably like 5'6", 5'7", or something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And I don't even know what that means. So I take my fist. I'm like, I'm about to punch him right in the face, and I just couldn't do it. And so my fist opens, and I just slap him right across the face, just big slap. And the shock on his face was like, "What? Did you just fucking slap me?" I'm like, "Yeah, I fucking slapped that guy." I'm like, "Okay, go with it. Yeah, I fucking slapped you. I'm gonna slap you again. You don't get my fucking phone back."
Whoa!
And he's like, "Yeah, fuck you." And I slap him again on
Whoa!
The face.
Whoa! You got a taste for it.
And then there's a crowd growing and I'm like, okay, I guess I got to go for the phone. So I slap him one more time. And then while he's distracted, I like grab where the phone is in his front pocket. And he's wearing kind of like track pants kind of.
Of course he is.
And it's a zip pocket. But there's just enough room in the unzip in the pocket that I get two of my strongest fingers into there. And I'm just like, we start sort of struggling. And I'm waiting for him to hit me. But I think he knew that like, if he actually hit me, because he had experience. So if he actually hit me, then I would actually get mad. And if I actually got mad, then maybe I would hurt him. Because I think you have to get mad to really hurt somebody.
I think you're giving him too much intellectual credit.
You might be right.
Sounds like Jesse Pinkman.
Anyway, so we're scuffling. I'm pulling on this phone, and suddenly I pull as hard as I can, and hear a bunch of tearing, and I I sort of lurch back, and I look at my hand, and I'm holding the phone in the pocket in his pants, which have completely torn off his body.
Were they tearaways?
And he's no, they weren't tearaways. They were kind of like a tenting material kind of thing, you know? Yeah. You're light to the hiking.
Like something Ali G would wear.
Yeah, exactly. And and he's standing there.
Dingling like, out?
No, just like boxer briefs. And he's standing there with no pants. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
I think that's the best story I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, so I walked away.
No way.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked about fights. Or else we would never have known the best story I've ever heard.
That story was an absolute blessing.
I'm not sure you can call that a fight, but it...
You slapped him.
I did slap him,
yeah. You ripped his pants off.
Yeah, I love to think about it.
Dude, pimp slapping someone is so much more shameful than punching them.
For sure.
It's such a dominant... Yeah, I regret saying you're not an alpha male. Now I realize... That's so humiliating.
Well, but it came.
He lost all his cred. Yeah, and pants.
And his pants. It came from a place of compassion, though. So it wasn't. It didn't come from an alpha place. It came from a very.
That's like
very beta place.
That's like you didn't want to ruin his good looks with a fist, so you slapped him. It's like how hitting someone with a phone book doesn't leave bruises. Like maybe that's your next move. It's like. Because that'd be funny if you just got into a thing where you fought good-looking teenagers.
Hang on a second. They don't hit people with the phone book. They hit people through the phone book.
Oh.
They put the phone book...
I've been doing it all wrong.
They still use a hammer, but they put it...
Who are we talking about?
The mob.
Oh.
Like they use like a... What is it? Like a sack of oranges or something so it doesn't like leave a bruise?
That sounds like mafia. Like
I don't know. I've heard about piano wire. How piano wire... Mm. You can stab someone in piano wire and they won't know they're stabbed for like 2 hours and then they'll just drop dead.
Oh what? My God.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you the best way to kill someone, but he just offered that up already. So I don't even need to ask that question now.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. The phone book thing, I mean, I've been doing it all wrong. I've just been beating Lewis in the head with a phone book for a while.
Where do you even get a phone book these days, man? That's I'm so great. Glad those are gone.
From a payphone.
Yeah, which are also gone.
I haven't seen a payphone in like 5 years.
Yeah.
If you do, you're in a sketchy neighborhood and you should leave. I like when you just see what used to be a phone book, now there's just wires coming out, and then that guy that Zach, who he ripped his pants off, is standing near it probably.
Yeah.
Can I use your phone? Yeah. I had somebody, one time I used to live on the ground level of a building, and a guy like that guy you just described, I think it maybe was the same guy, went walking through the lawn of my apartment, caught a glimpse of me and then knocked on the window and I'm there on my laptop and he's like, can I use your phone?
Oh.
Right.
I was like, I don't have one. Meanwhile, there's a laptop in my lap.
Yeah.
MacBook Pro. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. Best just to say no. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know if I would say no. Like,
I know.
I feel so lucky to be able to afford a stupid phone and to not live in that neighborhood all the time and not live like that guy. He doesn't have it easy, you know?
Mm-hmm. No. So, I just want to make people happy.
I just wanted to help him out, and I probably would do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have it easy.
Same here.
Probably still doesn't have pants. I heard he still doesn't even have pants.
Nah, he's learned his lesson. He's fine. I think that's really like set him straight.
Yeah, I think so.
I slapped him straight.
That's like the best story. I have a question for you guys just about like rehearsal spaces. I went to this one rehearsal space in Yale Town with, do you remember Sons of Granville and like Matthew Lennox?
No.
They were like really, like they were really into busking and they were like the big busking. Oh yeah.
Okay. I've seen those busking dudes.
Yeah. Yep. So Matthew, the guitarist, he used to teach me guitar and when we went to his jam space in Yale Town and it was underground and it was the biggest jam space. Like there was like a hallway just like like you could see like dust. It was, you know what I mean? Like, like clouds and stuff when things are so far in the distance, I swear. And I've asked so many people about this rehearsal space and nobody knows what I'm talking about, but someone must because there's so many spaces.
Mm. Oh yeah.
The one that we were at was infamous for how trash it was.
Yeah.
It was like you were rehearsing in a public bathroom kind of.
This one was also trash. Like, I remember it was like underground and it was like,
there was rats.
We had to like enter in through like an alley.
You would leave your merch there and then just come back and just be damp now for some reason. Yeah.
You know, in Spirited Away, there's that ghost that eats everything and is all like clogged up, and then finally like gets unclogged, and all just the horrors of everything that they've eaten, chairs and fish and everything, just comes all out and like fills the whole house. Mm-hmm. That is what our jam space was like. It was like that ghost had just been unclogged. But I loved it. I loved that jam space.
Did you?
Because anyway, it was so conveniently located.
Yeah, it was.
There was, and it also just made me feel like a real fucking musician.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and coming from like the West Side, where with two parents that love me,
yeah.
I needed that at the time.
Who wouldn't though?
Yeah. This like me entering into this jam space is like my first foray too, like coming from Richmond with my parents as well, who love me.
Yeah.
And here I'm like, I finally made it. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin just needs a hug. He doesn't need that jam space.
Not allowed during these times.
We can't hug. Social distancing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last person I hugged was 4 months ago, and it was a friend of mine who was here from Australia for a second and came to our Comedy Here Often show.
Wow.
It's been a rough few months, guys. Thank you for coming on, Zach.
Man,
my pleasure.
You
have new singles out now. They're very good. You and I hung out in my front yard for a bit.
Yeah, we did. It was nice.
And we listened to White Town.
We listened to White Town, and we listened to the OBGMs.
Yeah. Thank you for showing me.
Since then, you've gotten into them?
Yeah. We're doing a merch swap.
Oh, very nice. Cool.
I like when bands do that.
And we talked about Korn quite a bit. Oh, and that that infamous interview with Eric Andre and Jay
Baruchel. Oh, yeah.
where they lose so much respect for the Bakersfield morning show host that they start talking about Korn and just going like.
Oh my God.
That sound was the beginning of my music career. That was inspiration.
It's so good. That song is actually super good. Yeah, that's like the only Korn song you could play on acoustic guitar and please people.
But they still did an unplugged session, which is when bands like that do that, and it's the dumbest thing. It's like them, and then they had the singer of Evanescence come out for that song.
Actually, now that I think of it, you couldn't play that on acoustic guitar because it's too dissonant.
It just sounds like open floppy strings.
Yeah.
That's their whole session.
That's their sound.
Love that band.
Their sound. Yeah. Bless those guys.
Listen to the new Zola's songs.
Thank you very much. We're releasing a song every goddamn month.
Yeah. I'm loving it.
Until the end of the world. So.
Yeah.
That's.
I can't wait for this shit to end. I'm tired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. You should try that. You should just try releasing a song every month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes backlogging a bunch of songs because we're not that prolific, but it's a really nice feeling to just like have something new to get excited about every
it's true.
Month.
That's true.
I gotta quit doing this album thing I keep doing.
Yeah, you only do albums when you're forced to. Yeah. You
know? Simping a little gun to my head. At least an album. Okay. All right. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. Thanks, Alexi.
Thank you.